child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them. You see, it's in the blood. Both kids are good and bound. Blood's thicker than the mud. It's a family affair.
Family affair.
It's a family affair.
Listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Good to be back with you this morning, and it's a family affair. That's what I thought I'd share with you today. A family affair. We'll be talking about government. The local government here in Honolulu, or in Hawaii, actually, for the entire state. And I want to share with you a couple of situations will get your attention, I believe. And if nothing else, we've had many examples of nepotism, conflict, abuse of authority, and on within government. Both city, state, and county, and even in the federal. But what I thought I would do is, rather than just throwing rocks and saying to the listeners and to the politicians, I want to give examples. Basically, this would be the equivalent of holding a mirror for the politicians and their families and their loved ones or whatever that benefit from this, what we call government, but what I'm now describing as a family affair, because you will learn, and a lot of you know that it's a friend of a friend or a wife of a senator or legislator who gets the jobs, be appointed here and there. But what I'm going to do is focus on, we talk about the 99% and the 1% at Wall Street. We're going to talk about the 99.9% at Washington Place and at Baratania Street, and the other is they are the ones, it seems, that they make up the government and they control it, they lie, they cheat, they steal, and then come election, they put their best face on. And you don't have any problem, or you can't sort through it. So what I want to do is share with you, and just let you know, too, that I attempted to get a couple people on today to interview, but again, they don't believe that we are worthy of being interviewed. And this is within some of the government offices, but that's okay. We will do what we do with them or without them. But in regards to Governor Abercrombie's press conference, if you can call it that, this is to show you, and if you look closely, what is really going on with the local media here and all. I went to the governor's office to participate in the, quote, press conference, if you can describe it as such. And I was told, no, this press conference was only for special invitees. And apparently the special invitees is the media that didn't ask him the hard-hitting questions, didn't ask him anything other than allow him to have a platform. So per Donald and Dela Cruz, the public, no public persons were allowed, no public persons were invited, and I too was excluded from that list, so therefore I could. So this is the filtering and the hiding, I guess, or masking the 30% ranking that the governor has. No independent media were allowed. If you look at the way it was presented to you, it was his cabinet members and the lieutenant governor sitting there cheering him on. And I would describe it as being he was treated with or afforded a kid glove treatment, where he didn't have to speak to the issues that we can attribute his low rankings for. No specifics on proclamations. Didn't talk about the nurses. Those are the things that got him into hot water and into the quagmire that he's in. He didn't speak about the homeless issues. He didn't speak about the proclamation and rescinding it. He didn't talk about the Land Development Corporation, which is offensive. And I want to borrow his analogy for a moment and play around with it. And again, this is this big family, familion, that we see here that we call government. He refers to it as he plays all four quarters. The media, the invited media, didn't ask him to address the unsportsmanlike conduct that he's displayed, like roughing the nurses, taunting excessive celebration, going to Asia and what have you when we're up to our neck in trouble, offside and out of touch with fans and roughing the passer, letting his four leaders go with no explanation. I just was able to talk. But if you want to talk about playing the four quarters, I'm just going to steal some of the sports or analogies or comparisons here. And went to the vacation, offside and out of touch with fans, as I say, and failing to get the play in a lot of time. Remember, he told us that he was going to have this canoe navigating these rough waters of economic times and what have you. And you can't see the canoe, nor can you see him, because most of the time he's gone or only presenting you an image that the media will serve up to. He didn't show us any real progress on the challenges that we face. Nothing. And in the scheme of things, he needs to explain to us in detail. But then if you notice, all that happened was that he came to the following day or a day later or so to tell us about the tower in Kaka'ako. So just think back. If you want to know what this big family is, this is what happens. A governor with the lowest rankings in the United States, these United States, is able to come even when his back is against the wall and he's failing, and I mean failing miserably, which translates into suffering on our part. And all that we get is a selected few people that won't ask the hard questions, or didn't ask the hard questions, or ask them and then wouldn't print the answers that he gave. So when you hear people complain about the corporatized media, then that's an example to show you. If they're going to be the ones to be invited to these things and serve as a interference on the independents like myself and just common citizens, then I think there's something wrong with that big picture. Not to blame the media, but again, if you are aiding and abetting and participating and affording this governor an opportunity not to address the real issues, then it becomes fun and games. So anyway, in that that vein, I'm going to share with you. Some of you know of the paintball. When you're leaving the airport, coming into downtown at Nimitz, there you look out to the right. You'll see a paintball facility. They call it a field, a game field. And you'll see all of the trash, and you'll see just, I don't know what you would call it, but it's just stacked up out there. Now, if you notice, we spent millions cleaning up Nimitz and beautifying it, but that's the first sight you see, with old drainage pipes and coils, wire coils and rope coils, and it's a mess. And yet, that's the first thing that the, quote, APEC people will see coming in. But there's a story behind this. And the story is that is owned by, and again, this is talking about the family, the relationship that we see now here in this state. The family part of it is that facility is owned and operated by Brandon Cayetano, which is Ben Cayetano's son. Now, he's had that lease since March. They approved it, 13.9 acres, the DLNR, under a revocable permit on February 25th, 2000. Now, I want you to try and listen to this, because it's going to be long-winded. But it's long-winded because I'm only reflecting the facts. And these facts are the tolerance that has been afforded and displayed here on part of the government to Ben Cayetano's son is astounding. I mean, I'm taken aback when I see what has transpired. So I do apologize if I get too wordy and it will sound as if I'm repetitive, but that's what the records reflect. So, the original, it states, these are strictly from the records of the deal in our land division for the paintball operation. The February 25th, 2000, the month-to-month lease was given, $940 per month at $11,280 per year. At that time, Timothy Johns was the chairman. So, January 25th, Cayetano writes a letter. Brandon writes a letter, and the address that he puts on the letter that he writes from is Washington Place. And he then states that he'll take care of it, promised safe and sound, and he read the letter. 7/18/2000, after getting the lease, he finds himself asking the state DLNR to give him a six-month reprieve or waiver, or because he didn't actually, he's basically saying forgiveness of rent due to inactivity, claim would beautify and transfer the property. This is what he said he would do, plant trees and plant grass and beautify it and make it look good, and that would make the business flourish and what have you, and the image and impression. But that didn't happen. So he went in and asked for a waiver. Well, he got the waiver, and they moved the date up. September 27, 2000, DLNR agreed to waive the 6 months from May 1, 2000 to November 1, 2000. February 14th, the city and county comes in and gives them a violation. Now, mind you, these permits are, you have to be in good standing to keep them. And so you don't just get them. You have to keep them, keep it up in the conditions. So the city issued a violation notice for a trailer and office illegally parked. Now, here's where all of this comes in. This is where I want you to, if you're interested in this. On May 1 of 2001, there was late charges. Late on his fees. Didn't pay, right? And the same thing, he gets another letter. Then in June, gets a letter, no insurance. And then 12-18-2003, permits in arrears of rental for 60 days. And they warn him that it will not be renewed if he continued to do this. On May 2004, late payment. June 2004, no insurance submitted. Then he had late payments and no payments. And on the 11th, on November 2004, he wrote a bad check. And pay attention to the bad checks now. I mean, this is, I'm not making this stuff up. It's December 3rd, 2004, was advised to pay in cash or cashier's check due to delinquencies. December 15th, 2004, after him being delinquent, writing a bad check, and having a problem with insurance, and on, they then tell him on the 15th of December, 2004, we're pleased to inform you that on December 10th, 2004, BLNR approved the continuation of your permit on a month-to-month basis. Now, the following year, July 2005, delinquent payment. October 2005, delinquent payment. December 2005, delinquent payment. March 2006, delinquent payment. June 2006, delinquent payment. July 6, 2006, delinquent payment. All the way up until November, delinquent. Then he had his rent increased around November 3rd of 2006. And January 3rd, 2007, he asked for 9 months to allow his business to turn around, and if not, he will turn in his permit. Now, 2007, right after that, February, delinquent. And while asking to be forgiven for a nine-month period so that he can, to allow him that amount of time to turn around. I don't know if you as a citizen would get this kind of treatment. And this is a facility that could be used. It's close to town, and I'm aware of a couple of businesses that would love to have rented that and were pretty viable and would have paid and kept it up. On March 7, 2007, delinquent. May, delinquent. August 07, delinquent. September, delinquent. And all on. Then, while being delinquent in 2007 up to October 2007 and what have you, he then in December writes a bad check to pay the bills. They didn't cancel his permit still. They didn't evict him. So then they ask him to remit a payment of $3,175. So he starts off in the new year, May 2008, delinquent. Then he sends a letter to the state. Right after that, he's delinquent in June. Then in August, he writes a web page where he talks about the difficulty in making money is in attributing some of it to the homeless people being there and what have you. But again, now we're up, that's 8 years that he's had this permit and behind payment. No cancellation. Should have been evicted. Didn't have all the conditions that were stated. So he then goes on, in 2009, he owed $4,435, was due 1109. So then, in May of that same year, while supposedly taking care of that payment, delinquent. He was delinquent in May 2009. Then, again, July, a delinquent letter for March, April, May, and June of 2009 indicated $4,817 delinquent. Then in July of 2009, letter where he wrote and paid a portion of the money. To make matters worse, he then goes and give the state now. The state had to get permission from him to give the state and other law enforcement personnel the right of entry to go in and chase away the homeless. But here's a person that is costing the state time and money by being delinquent and still getting treated good while the homeless are being chased away, and just unbelievable. The September 2009 delinquent from May to September, he was delinquent. February 2010 letter advising that he had not paid since October 2009. Now, I don't know about you, but my bill collectors won't allow me that kind of luxury to be delinquent consistently and predictably being delinquent. Then failing to keep the property up as required. Then when I'm delinquent and have arrears that are really increased in three, four, or five months, I write them a bad check. Then after I write them the bad check, I somehow clean that up and then I engage in being delinquent again. This is what the state has tolerated. And now, do we attribute this or say that because Cayetano is the son of the former governor Cayetano, he's getting this treatment? Well, I will tell you that when I went in to get the records on another occasion a couple of years ago, now I'm a citizen, I walk in exercising my basic rights to view the records, and while sitting there, I'm approached by Brendan Cayetano, who is telephoned and alerted by one of the employees at the DLNR, a BLNR land division, to let him know that I was there looking at the files pertaining to his lease. So on this occasion, when I went to renew my records, by the way, as an obstacle, so that you might find this curious, that I am charged 50 cents a page, but they won't do anything to collect their money other than write letters and the amount of time and the amount of manpower and the resources that goes into trying to write a letter each month. They could be spending that time doing something else, but when I want to look at a record, oh, you can't do that, and you have to pay us 50 cents a page. So to get, I think it was 42 pages, I paid the originally $22 and or something like that, and the next portion was, and they weren't efficient, so the machine supposedly broke down. They won't interview with you. They won't speak to me directly. But I did, while there, I had Stephen Lau, who's the agent that's been handling this. Now, you might find this interesting. While I'm standing there and getting my records and about ready to leave, Stephen Lau comes up and, hey, come, I want to talk to you. And why are you picking on Brendan? He's a good guy. Now, this is the agent. So somewhere down the line, there's been messages sent to the lower-ranking folks that anyone in the family, apparently, you treat them carefully and kind. You don't do anything to offend them. You don't really do your job. You give the appearance that you do your job, but when it comes to making hard decisions that might impact them, for example, taking away land and all, that they're failing to pay or meet the conditions of a permit, you're told, apparently, to go that extreme, go that extra mile to avoid doing that. So from February 2010 to 2/16/11, I couldn't find any of the records, basically, in the files that spoke to the delinquency and also the amount of money that is owed. And I'm going to try, but I'm told that records show that in 12/15 to 2010, he wrote a check. And again, that check was returned. So 3/15/11, they were still trying to collect for bad checks. That's what the records show. I was told by staff that $5,000 was due. But again, I couldn't get any records. They wouldn't speak to me. They didn't want to say anything bad about this. So that's, I'll let you draw your own conclusions if, in fact, this is a bit of extra treatment that this gentleman has received or is receiving. And just the other day, I see the state was there cleaning up the trash. Now, the average renter is responsible when they rent state land, responsible for the upkeep and the maintenance and the appearance. Why was the state DOT or whomever there picking up trash and grading and grubbing? You may have seen it on the news. Why? When in fact it would be the responsibility of the renter. And if he couldn't uphold that deal, the end of the bargain, or the condition of his permit, then he should have had his permit taken away and it canceled. And I think we can do without paintball. I don't know about you, but when you look at this, the big eyesore that it is, it's really interesting. So that's the first part of this. And I say that it's difficult to sit and read numbers and you're thinking, where is this going? But again, it's a family member, and this particular incident or instance, it's 10 years that we're able to see our government, an agency, who sits down and repeatedly tell us we need to engage with private businesses to bring in revenue. But that situation with Cayetano is indicative of many scenarios that play themselves out daily within state government regarding land rentals and leases. We pointed out, for example, Sand Island, Island Recycling, who were situated on land that were not paying rent, and there were issues with power and water and what have you. RC International, the shark fin people, using state water, state lights, and not paying the proper fee for rental. And yet, we still hear this mantra of we'll incorporate big business and bring it in and privatize, and that way we'd be more efficient in managing. It's not true. Most of these cases, they're going to know someone when they bring in the companies and give them these fancy deals. And that brings me back to something that I heard the illustrious Donovan De La Cruz say the other day during an interview. And I'm going to paraphrase, but this is something to the effect, we need to look to private businesses and work with them to get things done in a more efficient fashion. And then shortly thereafter, he says, we, the government, need to do more than we're doing now, basically, to help private business and small businesses. Wait, let me get this right. Is this a person on drugs or a person that just don't know what he's talking about? Because if you're telling us you're going to turn to and we need to deal with the private businesses to help us get government affairs done properly, then you turn around and tell us you got to fund them and help them survive? It should be the other way around, or maybe I misunderstood something here. But this is what you get with this family, of this relationship that we have. And it's not, it's just not good. It's bad business. So what I'm going to do is, how do we combat this? What can you and I do? That's just one now, and I got others, and we're going to talk about, I've had this gentleman on the show here, and he's a good man. I have no doubt that it's just a bad decision. And every human being has a good soul and a good mind and good intentions, but they do things that invite, and some people go, what the heck? Well, this is John Mizuno, state representative. And we're talking about this big family now, and I don't want to sound like I'm on drugs and disfigured and dysfunctional here. But State Representative John Mizuno has employed his wife as and this is a declaration that he makes in the State Ethics Commission, a required declaration, disclosure, that his spouse... He just indicated that she's an office manager for Hawaii State Legislature. So, that's not illegal, believe it or not. Not in the House of Representatives. Not in the State House of Representatives. You see, they are a little bit immunized or immune or above the law or just really won't ever write or pass a law that would bring them into the fold. So, Representative Mizuno, and again, I've checked, there are no rules, I'm told, by the State House Representative Calvin Say's office and the Legislative Review Bureau, that there are no laws prohibiting that. But now, it's a funny thing. In the Senate, the state Senate under Title 11, the Code of Ethics, there's a prohibition against nepotism. And this is what this would be described, Mr. Mizuno's wife working there would be described as nepotism. In Title 11, Code of Ethics, Section 1.4, nepotism. A senator, and this is a senator. Now, remember, we're talking about two entities here. But what's good for the senator, or what have you, or what's good for the goose, or whatever. In this situation, it defines in the Senate, it's a prohibition, a senator or employing staff member may not appoint, employ, promote, advance, or advocate for appointment, employment, promotion, or advancement in or to a position in the Senate by any individual who is a close relative of the senator or employing staff member. And there's other definitions. Now, that's in the Senate. Mind you, if you recall, and I'll talk about it, we had the ethics laws that were struggling to get them to pass it, but the state legislators won't pass it. They're above the law. So maybe in some of your contacts, when they want you to hand them your baby and take a picture and give you the shaka with you in a dumb picture, just tell them, no, no, no. Let's hold the picture. This is not a Kodak moment. Let's ask this question. All of you, I'm going to see if you can do this. Just ask them, will you vote to pass an ethics law, period, that governs, that regulates the Senate and the House? I believe that, you know, we don't know what we can do sometimes when we look to the sky and hope that it rains and whatever it is. But this is something you can do. If you ever get the opportunity to interact, and if you don't, write them a letter and let's ask them to do something to pass this ethics bill. They should not be above the law. They should not. So, again, I'm not saying that Mr. Mizuno is doing anything wrong for, as it relates to the law, but I can take great, great liberty in saying that it invites trouble and it just simply does not appear to be ethical. And I just, and within these rules, there are some concerns that what you do is to, you want to get the best or the best bang for the buck for the taxpayer. Are we getting the best for our bucks when we hire our wives and spouses or husbands? Carla, go ahead. You have a comment or question.
Carla, I've got two comments.
Yes, sir.
The first one, thank you. The first one is, this is on the positive side, right? With Brandon Cayetano.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you sure can't blame him for mooching off his dad. I got a chuckle. That's good.
I'm gonna let.
Boy, I tell you.
Well, you know, I mean, some of us are opportunists, and what can you say? But that's why we have government, and that's why we have regulation, and that's why we hire the best people, right? To enforce the laws and follow the laws and look out for the welfare of the taxpayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. What's the next one?
The other one, Carol, is why wouldn't you expect any more from these legislators when it's been a one-party rule for a long time, whether it is the Senate or the House?
Mm-hmm.
They do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And we can write all the letters, emails, blogs, fax, Twitter, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't make a hill of beans of difference, Carol, because you'll notice how the same players are always running for re-election or for another seat.
Mm-hmm.
Same faces. I believe you've even commented on this yourself.
Right.
And you know, you can't blame anybody but the people.
Right, right.
I mean, if they want it to be a one-party rule and they want to continue not to have a sense of balance, and I know you like to be more or less in the middle, so to speak, I guess, when you're on the radio about whether they're a Republican or a Democrat, but, I mean, there's just no denying it
mm-hmm.
anymore. I mean, one Republican senator in the Senate,
mm-hmm.
and all he's doing is running from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting, and God knows how much. I mean, does anybody think that he's possibly getting anything done? I mean, how could he?
You mean, wait, you mentioned, I'm sorry, you use the word governor in the same sentence.
No, I meant
name.
Government.
Oh, because I was thinking governor with with the name Cayetano, they just don't seem to fit. There's a they don't seem to work. Governor Cayetano, I haven't seen any governing. Have you?
No, it seems to be, you know, I say you do, right?
Yeah. I think the state national song, the song now is going to be row, row, row your boat gently. Because that's all we're talking is canoe and paddling and rough waters and fourth quarters, and right?
Carol, I wanted to add to that part of your opening monologue about the governor and the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And as I recall, the day he took office and all that, gave his big speech about a new day, I could swear I vaguely remember him saying transparent. And I started thinking, you know what's really transparent? It's so transparent that we can't see anything at all.
Right.
And he doesn't want us to see any all. I mean, it's such a great, you know, cover-all catchword, buzzword, spin word.
Right.
I mean, he's been anything but transparent. Now I see everybody's freaking out about that that humongous tower they want to build.
Yeah.
That he's literally given his blessings to. God knows how much they'll contribute to his reelection campaign.
And isn't it funny how it popped up on the... He announced it when he has his back against the wall and his head is on the water and his ratings. Isn't that funny how he found that to come out and talk about it?
Yes, I did. You know, I did listen to some of the comments on that quote and air quotes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Press meeting that you were rudely not allowed to attend,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. And the only person that I thought was doing what she could was Malia Sloan.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Malia. I'm confused. No, they're not married. Malia Zimmerman.
Okay.
And she seemed to try to get answers out of him, but from what I was hearing out of the governor, he was just dancing all around the place.
Yeah, but the funny part about it is he was dancing to his own music. No one else held him accountable.
Yeah, I thought it was. When I watched a little bit of it on the news, it was just fascinating to see Brian Schatz just so. I mean, you know, if he had a chair in front of his feet, I think he would have kicked it up, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he was so laid back on that chair in the front row. It just cracked me up.
Yeah. And I was sitting there nervous, as you know what, in the church. I tell you, my friend, when I see Neil Abercrombie and seeing his numbers look, I get nervous. I'm almost ready to reserve a defibrillator. Because guess what? You know what really makes me nervous? Is Brian Schatz will become governor if we find a way to get this guy out. That's what's scary.
Absolutely.
Serious.
Everybody I know says the same thing.
I'm not lying to you, and we're going to be talking about it. This guy is, part of the family, you see. And he's a lieutenant governor, and I'm going to be talking later on in the next hour about his brother has gotten some special treatment, in my opinion. In promotions and what have you, I have to caution people that when I speak, I look at things in from a different light. When we're failing and in trouble financially, and we have problems in management and government and no transparency, I take the liberty of drawing conclusions that others want, and they might say that's an uninformed opinion that I might end up expressing, but it's based on things that I see from a different perspective, you know, not to the invited press conferences. You know, I go speak to what I go out independently and dig up myself.
I speak for myself, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners that we appreciate that you have this time with us.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, and it's about, you know, you make your own decision, but We're in trouble, and we're coming around the corner here, and we have the opportunity and to vote for someone. It didn't have to be Republican and or Democrat. There can be others. Write in someone or protest them. Don't vote at all, and then we'll work on voting them all out or do something. But we're in trouble. They're not managing our affairs. They're giving things away. They're giving a candy shop away.
Let me step out of the way and let the show roll on.
All righty. Hey, thank you. Now, again, as you all know, SB 994 and SD 1 was put out there last year, and by the Ethics Commission was attempting to, they were supportive of this bill, and imagine they didn't get the support. Now, let's back up here and talk about why are people able to, Mr. Mizuno is able to hire the wife when, in fact, the Senate says you can't do it, but in the House you can. Well, maybe it's the person that is at the helm. And if you reflect back, there is a gentleman by the name of Say. And I don't mean, oh, say, can you see? I mean, oh, say, I can't see you because you're too something. One hand's behind the back always. There's always something about this man. But he still is at the helm of the State House of Representatives. And I was encouraging to go and look and try to figure out, why can't we get something good out of this man? And why can't, and he's led the House for a while now. And how is it that the Senate could have a rule written, but in the House it's not? And to quote his representative, oh, Mr. Say has no problem with anyone hiring their wives in state office. He don't see anything wrong with it. And I'm thinking, wow, okay. But so I went and looked at Mr. Say's records. And I, as you may recall, I talked about where he, way back, he failed to disclose that he was the secretary of War Bay or the sushi or whatever the company is with that make the little wraps with seaweed and what have you that you see in Safeway or in other stores. I don't know if all of the stores or 7-Eleven or wherever. But I look at this and I think, Mr. Say, there's a deficit in his real ethics, I believe. I don't say he's bankrupt, but I say there's a deficit. I think that something's missing here. And I'm looking at his records, and on the disclosure of financial of interest, the long form, which is filed every even year, you look, and it basically tells you, for each item except item 9, disclose interest of filer, spouse, and dependent. So you have to put in ownership or beneficial interest in business, your employment. You have to name your creditors and any officership that you attend or hold. Now, August 27th, Mr. Say himself, the leader of the pack, had to amend his own filings because, and basically, he says the amendment for previous financial interest disclosure statements. The attachment lists amendments to certain of my previously filed financial interest disclosure statements. The amendments correct inadvertent omissions relating to my ownership interest in my deceased parents' home. A 1/5 tenant in common interest was transferred to me in June 2007 after the passing away of my father. The interests identified in the attachment are additional to the interests already made or listed in my 2008-2009. But it didn't stop there, folks. And I encourage you to go to the ethics website, the State Hawaii Ethics Commission, and go into legislators, financial disclosures, the public disclosure, and you'll see that even his wife and mother-in-law had interest. Now, you can inadvertently miss that and fail to file that by doing this, filing this form properly. You can't, because you have to read, and it's like I know that you'd have to go out of your way to have an inadvertent slippage or an oversight. But again, this is the same chairperson or the leader of the state rep house that will not take on the issue of passing an ethics bill that would govern and that would hold people's feet to the fire and that would prosecute them and give us some means of getting them out. So this big family that we see here, folks, I don't know what's the last name, but the first name is sick and tired. That's sick is the first name, and middle name is tired. And I tell you, I don't know where to start and don't know where to stop with this one, because when the governor, he should be out and no one's checking on him. He can call press conferences. And I wanted to make a comment about the press conference. Here's what's sad about that, quote, press conference. The media alerted us the day before that there was going to be this great press conference to address his low rankings. But all that we got was, I play the full four quarters and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, if it was legal, I'd like to punch you down the field. But, you know, you can't do that in this society, and that's would appear to be disrespectful. But if you're going to play the game and play by four quarters, then you need to play the full way because something's wrong here. You can't. We need a full press court on our financial issues, on our environmental issues, on our homeless issues, on our children's welfare and safety issues, on the elderly, the taxes and the water issues and all of that. We need a full court press if you want to talk about sports and the analogies. That's what we need, Neil Abercrombie. We need that. But instead, we're going to get the tallest building erected to a man that will forever be short on memory as to what he really did. The development, Land Development Corp that they founded, I believe that is going to be the saddest day of our life when that thing gets going, because you and I don't have any power, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You and I are left to our own devices. We have to trust this man and others in this family. So, again, I don't know. As the caller said, that I want to be in the middle. Not really. I just see politics as being that of a zebra. I don't care. I don't get confused if it's a horse or if it's not a horse, if he's black or if he's white. I just feel at the end of the day, I'm going to end up scooping up poop. And that's what you and I have to tolerate now. Poop in government. Government waste, period. So let's do something about it. And if you'd like to join me in the next hour, I'm going to finish this. I have a few more tidbits that we're going to talk about, and Mr. Schatz and the family, and how things get done in this state. And I'll talk to you later, and please join me back at...
Just won't hide.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the second half of the Carol Cox Show. Everybody's talking, and what are you doing? Well, that is a good question. I hear more complaints. Sometimes I think I should be at doctor's office. With a lot of us, we complain, we hurt here, this bothers us, and then the next week you see them again, and the same pain. We just can't seem to get over bad government. It's like bad food, huh? One day you listen to them, and the next day you suffer. So I told you that we were going to talk about the family and continue this conversation and how it relates to government. But what I here's a fix for this problem, I believe. One, we can start. When we have, if we are going to continue to vote for the same people, then we owe it to ourselves to at least require some measure or some means of enforcing their bad behavior, and we need to put in place some checks and balances. And there are probably a lot of law enforcement people out there would love to take on some of these white-collar crime issues and abuse of government authority. But if there's no law against it, then they can only sit on the sideline and watch it and in hope that somebody fumbles the ball in the fourth quarter. But I think that if you were to, as I suggested or would like to bring to your attention, is to contact your legislators and just ask them to do it for you, to give you a good night's rest, that when laws are made, they're made with the best interests of the people and not the best interests of the leaders, friends, and family. So last year, SB 994 was out relating to nepotism, and it prohibits a public official or public employee from appointing, employing, promoting, or advocating, or advancing, a relative within an agency over which the public official or public employee exercises control, or the relative of another public official or employee employed by or exercising control over the same agency. Now, some of you will say, well, you're from the outside, bro, and you don't understand this is a small island, and you don't understand our ways, and we live on an island, and someone is going to be related to someone. Well, let me back up and remind you that I didn't write this law. People that are local people, if we want to use that term, wrote this law. This came from the State Ethics Commission and others. So I didn't have anything to do it with my foreign mindset and my foreign attitude, as a lot of you would care to describe. This came from within. So if it's coming from within, you can appreciate the need for it. And I think the disclaimer or taking issue that it's not a local person, quote local person. I've been here 22 years now, I guess, and love the place. So I think that if that is an issue, just know, I would remind you that it is, quote, local people that authored this bill and attempted to pass it. And Mr. Say and others didn't support it, and even in the Senate. So the Senate did, but it didn't pass. So what we need from the listeners out there and others, if you're concerned about your government and the good of it and the benefits that it'll bring to you in a quality of life, low taxes, good sound decision, I would say we need to lean on our legislators and demand that they pass this year without any hesitation and reluctancy or any slowness or whatever, get off their butts and pass this bill. And basically, the bill is still, it'll be introduced again, I'm informed. And basically, the legislature, it states, find that government is faced with many calls for the institution or enhancement of the standards governing the expenditure of public funds in the areas of accountability, transparency, honesty, and the use of best practices. Well, if you hire your wife to run your office, how much money do you think that person is going to say, well, you know, I can pay you $50,000 or I can pay you $80,000? Well, what do you think I should pay you, honey? I don't know. But I believe that what that does, it might bring some stress off of him, and he can trust his wife. But here's the problem, the downside of that: if the wife gets mad at him and decides to divorce him, then you and I suffer because he divorced. That's just one crazy angle to this thing. And while it may be far-fetched, it still is possible. And that's just one nonsensical point that I'd like to raise. So if you have any comments or concerns about my comments or would like to express your own comments, please call in 724-1080 and share your opinions, express them. And in the future, I'm going to set aside, hopefully in each show, about 15 minutes. So if you have something out there, it doesn't have to be what we're talking about, something out there that you'd like to express. And don't, I hear so often, I was about to call you, but I decided somebody else might call you and ask the same question, or I was nervous. Don't be nervous. Don't assume someone else is going to ask you a question, and you're more than welcome. I invite all of you. I will allow you 2 minutes to just spew, do whatever. You know, we'll keep it clean. But I think I want to afford you the opportunity, a way of expressing yourself and be heard, because if you and I can't go to the press conferences, who do we talk to? And on a side note, you realize when it comes to news, the importance of independents like this show and others, the ILN.net and Disappeared News, when you get those opportunities, understand something. If you don't have a computer and you don't subscribe to the newspaper, you are at a loss in that sense. And if you only have analog, or you didn't get the, you get your news on TV and only to a certain few stations, you see how you have been X'd out of receiving news. And so it comes into play, the importance of this, and when you see the stories, a minute, 15 seconds on a story that's going to be fair and balanced. Fair and balanced don't guarantee you're going to get the full story. Fair and balanced means you generally get what he said, and he then say what, and the opposing statements, and there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm thinking to say to you that all of this, and that's why you need to start looking at Olelo, getting involved. Some of the people there will give you good information, but just know that. So anyway, do feel free to call in if you'd like to. But now, I talked to you earlier and said I'd be talking about Mr. Brian Schatz's relationship. It has come to my attention, and through my investigative efforts and through a person that is very, very helpful, and I would openly thank them, take this opportunity to thank them for sharing information with me on these matters, because without it, it's a mountain of information, and I love it. I folks, I don't even go to sleep on time now. I'm getting people to give information, but in particular, one individual I really appreciate, and I think if you knew, you would understand and appreciate what they're doing. And so it's an attempt to inform you through me, I guess, and I'm going to try to do the best I can with it. Now, you've heard of the race to the top. And the race to the top is about the education system here and then in the nation. And July 2009, President Barack Obama announced the race to the top with Arne Duncan, Secretary of Education. And that will afford states such as Hawaii to get money to improve the school system, you know, to bring us and enable, educate our kids, and enable us to compete globally. Because while we're bringing people here and saying that we need to think globally and interact, but if all of our kids are uneducated, then they're going to be at a loss, and that means we lose. So what happened was there is a position that came open, and it's the Office of Strategic Reform and Turnaround Partner. The Hawaii DOE's, they propose an Office of Strategic Reform, OSR Director, and then the Special Executive Assistance for School Reform, or CSER, will be responsible for working with OSR staff in Hydo. Now, I'm going to read you an email that I was trying to get them to come on air and talk, but I don't know, maybe they think we eat people or something, I don't know. But, dear Carol, my apologies for the after-hour response. We held our Teacher of the Year ceremony this afternoon, so I am just now catching up on messages. The Assistant Superintendent for the Office of Strategic Reform position was not competitively filled. And I'll repeat. The Assistant Superintendent for the Office of Strategic Reform position was not competitively filled. Stephen Schatz was appointed to the temporary position in July 2011. His current salary of $115,000 is the same as his former complex area superintendent salary for school years 2011 to 12 and 2012 to 13. All leadership team members superintendent, assistant superintendent, complex area superintendent, salaries are subject to an across-the-board percent salary reduction. Now, Stephen Schatz is the brother of our lieutenant governor, Brian Schatz. Now, is that wrong? Is it illegal? Well, I'm not going to engage in discussing whether it's wrong or illegal. I'm going to approach it from this angle. It was not competitively filled, number one. So now I get to play. I get to think and do what I want to do because if it was not competitively filled, how do we know we got the best person? How do we know we're going to have transparency? How do we know we're going to have our management and these issues done right and properly? How do we know? How will we know? Now, the caller earlier in the early hour said Schatz looked very comfortable. Now, sure, because if you're able to somehow, and it could have been just luck, and apparently luck does flourish here in the state of Hawaii because people flock to Vegas to look for it. So maybe in the same vein, same spirit. Maybe it is just pure luck that Brian Schatz's brother, Stephen Schatz, was appointed without having to compete for the job in a national program that has been funded, and I think the total for the entire state was, for those states that, and I'll name them, that got approval and were awarded this money. Now, what's wrong with that? And you might want to take issue with what I'm saying. What is wrong with that? I don't know what is wrong with that. But what I can tell you is that it raises concerns and it tells me to go looking. And so what I, after going looking, because I'm thinking, will our children benefit from this? Will our educational program improve with this? Well, it didn't improve. And I don't know if I can attribute the failure or the shortcomings to the fact that we have nepotism or we have just coincidentally a person that is one of the key leaders in this program is the brother of the Lieutenant Governor Brian Schatz, who got the job because he didn't compete. It was just handed to him on a silver platter, I guess. But there's a blog that watches this Education Week as a magazine or Education Week, and I'll put a link to that, edweek.org, if you'd like to go, edweek.org. And if you are interested in the education system here in Hawaii and what have you and how it's progressing, and as it relates to the race to the top, I encourage you to go there, edweek.org. And then as recent as October 26th of this year, there's a report, there's an article in there written by Michelle McNeil. Report, four race to the top states lag in teacher evaluation. And they are talking about how Hawaii, of the many states that received this funding and made great promises and that they would arrive and be prepared and have everything developed with the evaluation of teachers and all of that so that students can benefit, and it led by or partially led by Stephen Schatz, is a complete failure, a complete flop. So what's wrong with nepotism? I don't know, but I can tell you, I can look at what others are saying. And in this article, it states that Hawaii seems to get the biggest slam. Unfortunately, the report says that, unfortunately, quote, the report says, there are also RTT winners, race to the top winners, such as Hawaii, with little or no legislative or regulatory changes to show for its promises regarding great teachers and leaders, end quote. It adds later that Hawaii's promise to redesign its system, quote, hasn't materialized in any significant way. So As I said earlier, you might take issue with, why am I picking on, as one of the state people say, why am I picking on him? Well, I'm not picking on him. I'm trying to lay out this sensible argument in that nepotism stinks. When you get appointed because you're the brother of a, or just coincidentally, you're the brother of the lieutenant governor of this state, and you don't have to compete for it, someone may have, if there was competition, someone may have asked that basic question. How can you demonstrate to us now that if we give you this job that you're going to keep us out of the newspapers and being negative and what have you, and get done what you promised, what the state of Hawaii promised the United States Department of Education? That's the benefit of having competition. You get to weed out the useless or the inept or the people that are too smart for their own good, and we might get something. But we're going to get nothing in this state because it's broken from top down. You even look at the superintendent, how she got her job. She moves in, she's an attorney, she moves in, having demonstrated that she's worth her nickels, but she moves in, sits there for a while, and they say, okay, everyone's forgot how you got here, so now we'll just name you. That's really cool in this state. You know, if you befriend a politician and you do something for a politician in this state, you can play the Jeffersons. Moving on up, that's about what you can sing. That could be your song for the day. And let me just share with you why, if you hear in my voice, how absurd this entire practice is, and we all should be afraid. The states that got the monies were Delaware, D.C. D.C. is not a state, but Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, of course, Maryland, Massachusetts, and a few others. And I want to read you what is happening here, where Hawaii stands with this report. And I got to tell you, it's scary. When you look at this report, it states one of the criteria, the state has made policy changes related to teacher evaluations from 2009 to 2011. Hawaii is blank. Hawaii shares with California and Iowa, Kansas, and Kentucky, but Hawaii got money for it. They're the ones that won the money. Mississippi didn't win any money. Iowa didn't win the race to the top. Kansas didn't win the race to the top. Kentucky didn't win. Arkansas didn't win. Alaska didn't win. Alabama didn't win. Hawaii won. Hawaii put a good face on. They sold a good deal. They said, we could do it. But they didn't tell the United States Department of Education that they would name Brian Schatz's brother, who didn't have to compete for the job. They didn't tell the United States Department of Education that. Or maybe they did, because you see, I'm informed, and I haven't confirmed this if any of you out there, Madeleine Albright, I'm told, is possibly the mother-in-law, and I'm going to check that, of Stephen Schatz. Did somehow the Obama administration hand Hawaii money? Because, you know, he's from here, and we got a one-sided government, and, you know, family matters here, and, you know, same party. To heck with the kids, you need a job. You'll look good. And so we're going to name you. I'm sure he probably go, this is, you mean I don't have to compete for this? This is great. So our children and our educational system is flawed already, and now we put people in and they don't have to compete. And in the same breath, you're saying we're going to evaluate the teachers? That's what this push is about, to evaluate the teachers, to assess their eligibility and their effectiveness. But then from the top, you don't even bother to have a competitive run for the job. So you got a superintendent who gets in the office not in the best, didn't compete, on-the-job training,
And then you hire someone. And there are other people that I've read their history and I see what they did. There's a Robert Campbell, for example, that I haven't spoken to him, but I sent an email to him. But I read some of the records and what he's done. And he was instrumental in part of this. And I'm sure he was able to write it. But somehow, I don't know if he voluntarily moved out of that. He didn't have that position, apparently. But he was instrumental in working with the Race to the Top and succeeding in getting it. But here's another criteria. State requires annual evaluation for all teachers. Nothing, nada, did the Hawaii cadre develop, submit. Another criteria. State requires that teacher evaluations include objective evidence of student learning. Hawaii is blank, but they got the money. State specifies that teacher evaluations are to be, quote, significantly, in quote, informed by student achievement / growth. Hawaii, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Delaware goes all the way across and has everything. Now, this isn't, some argue that this isn't the gospel, this study isn't the gospel, but when you don't show up in one single position as meeting the conditions as part of your receiving the grant, something's wrong. Another criteria is state requires that student achievement growth is the preponderant criterion in teacher evaluations. What does Hawaii show up? Nothing, nada, nothing. State requires teachers to be eligible for dismissal based on evaluation results. Where does Hawaii show up? You get it. Nowhere, nada. But they got the money, and they got a guy who is helping guide this and steer this vessel into the wall. Didn't have to compete for the job. Now, I know I went way out there in drawing conclusions and making and assuming that this is what happened, because I know that in this state, nothing, there's not a climate. No one can suggest that there's a climate that would lend itself to corruption. I know, and you know, that there is no corrupt politicians here. You and I know that there is no favoritism here. You and I know that no one would hire their brother or hire the brother of the lieutenant governor and not compete, have him compete. You and I know that that would never happen in this state. So I must be out of my mind, off my rocker, to sit here and suggest it. But I'm going to do that anyway, because sometimes they listen to crazy folks quicker than they would to a person that speaks intelligently. Because this whole thing will drive you crazy. That's what it's about. You have to sit and watch it unfold, and they talk about it. There are some people even suggesting that I've read nationally saying, well, maybe they should ask for the money back from Hawaii. Now, you know, we're always last in everything we do. And we ask why. And, you know, if it's a sewage treatment plant, well, you know, I think we could sell you this. It's $80 million, and it'll purify a gallon of water a year. And we have one of these facilities erected in some backwoods of Puerto Rico, and you know, okay, we'll buy. Why? Because the person that having that position is more than likely is the brother of somebody who didn't have to compete for the job, didn't have an engineer's license, didn't have anything. This is why we have our roads in conditions that we have them in. This is why we have water main breaks, because the people that are in there, just it's nepotism. They don't have to prove that they know how to do anything but put their pants on and sign on the bottom line when a politician wants them to get something done. Show up at a press conference, show up at a meeting with the city council, and say what it is that they have written down for them. They don't care about the consequences of lying. They know that they're going to get defended. They know that nobody's going to prosecute them, because you can lie in this state to the public. You can take the public's money and lie, look them in the face and lie to them and say, well, if you're not happy with that, wait until tomorrow, your bill will go up. That's what goes on in this state. And so, again, get an idea of this funding, all right, for this position that Mr. Stephen Schatz is going to be filling. They say that, now, in this is a race to the top state scope of work submitted to the United States Department of Education on March 17, 2011. Okay? And item 1.4, this is in there. This is what they submitted. Now, I'm not inventing this. And 1.4, item 1.4, it says, recruitment and selection and appointment of race-funded OOS staff data. Appointment of OSR executive assistant for strategic reform. This was in March 11, 2011, 17th of March. They're telling the federal government that they're going to appoint someone. They didn't say they're going to recruit. And so you look at this, they're saying it's going to be state general funds, but the recruitment and selection of the appointing is going to be for the data governance and OSR positions, right? $534,996 a year for OSR personnel for 4 years will equals to $2,077,584. For fringe benefits, $769,536. Travel by OSR staff for on-site strategic initiative trainings or neighbor islands is $148,800. For equipment, $12,000. And supplies, $14,440. I guess they're going to buy that 440. When you're dealing with millions, how do you get to 440? Well, maybe he's going to buy a magic marker on the way out of, you know, where they place at the counter there for you. But this is why we're last always. Because they spend the money on their friends and their family, and the kids get nothing. A lot of hogwash and a lot of talk and a lot of press conferences and a lot of glamour. And so you see that they got rid of the elected board of education and then had an appointed one. Isn't that consistent with Mr. Schatz being appointed down the line? So gather around, my friends, and we're going to take more from the taxpayers, and we're going to pull off a grand old theft here today. And are you in? Yes. Well, Mr. Abercrombie, the canoe only holds a certain people. Oh, forget about the canoe, man. We're driving limousines and Cadillacs. Don't worry about it. That was just a ruse. They're small-minded. Don't worry about it. This is what you are dealing with, folks. This is what you're having to digest when you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And am I playing this up, and am I exaggerating how this money is being spent? Well, I saw that it was $75 million somewhere, and so if you give someone a job and you appoint them for special favors and you don't recruit, that person is obligated to carry the ball. So will we ever know if the money was spent improperly, illegally? Will we ever get any results? So you and I, we're in for a long haul here. It is something that, for conferences, they state that it's going to be $20,000. And then for out-of-state travel, $116,600. Yet, they can't deliver a single report to the United States Department of Education while just sitting here at home. But maybe they need to go abroad and go and see how they do it in Nepal or something like that and get some relaxation or a retreat. And I guarantee you there will be a number of retreats scheduled in this amount of money, this $75 million that they got. I guarantee you you're going to see waste in the greatest sense of this whole process. And when you look at the list of hirees, that will raise your ire, too, because something's wrong here. That's why I said it's a family affair. It's about family. And I think that when we look at how they treated Cayetano's son, and still is, I believe, in my opinion, that it's a family treatment. When you look at how Mizuno is allowed to hire his wife in office, it's a family member. You look at Stephen Schatz getting a job, family member, your money. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Good morning, Garo.
Good morning.
My comment is, thank you for everything you do for us. You are greatly appreciated here on the island of Oahu.
Yes.
You are not slandering anybody. You are just telling us what's happening and opening our eyes.
All righty. Well, thank you.
Yep.
Aloha.
Aloha. Bye-bye.
Right. Thank you. Well, I appreciate those calls, and because it gives me a point of reference, because you can be driven crazy about this, because when you see things being done wrong, and you know people are concerned, that what can we do? And so I'm saying to myself, well, I know what I can do. Go down to the state capitol and ask to attend the press conference so I can ask firsthand questions. Well, no, you can't come in. This is only an invited list only. It's not open to the public. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Next time I come, I'll try to avoid the gators in the moat, and hopefully I leave with my head, because if you ask what's rightfully yours to be informed by your government, then something's wrong with that. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Oh, hi, Carol. Yeah. Again, I want to thank you also for doing what you're doing. I'm wondering if what the qualifications are of this Brian, we know how he got the job, but what are his qualifications? I wonder if anyone ever looked into that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to try. By the way, I did, in fact, send him an email asking him for an interview to come in and join me. And instead of writing back and saying that I don't really want to, and he just said, I'm not available for this Sunday, would not offering to be available on another date or be phone or accept questions. And I sent him questions and no response.
Yeah. Well, is that surprising?
Well, I don't know. But the idea is, hopefully, you the listeners can understand. It's, I don't want you to jump to conclusions as I've done, but at least incorporate it into your thinking, and don't take what I say for gospel, but do accept these things as facts, that Mizuno, one, hires his wife. She worked in his office as office manager. Calvin Say comes back, fails to mention things, and then Cayetano's son still has ownership of the facility that is delinquency and a history of that, and then Schatz, his brother. So I just hope that you, the listener, see that.
Well, I'm a retired teacher, Carol, and mm-hmm. You know we're on the front line. We know what kind of what it is to teach, and it's an honorable job. I've always felt that, and just the word nepotism, in the government hiring people who are related, mm-hmm. comes from the Italian nipote, which means nephew.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you mentioned that before or not, but I guess it's an age-old problem. But when we have people like you who do their homework and try to save the taxpayer from being skimmed as we are,
mm-hmm.
I know I appreciate it, and I'm sure many of the people who don't call in understand and do appreciate what you're doing. That's what all I wanted to say.
All righty, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Aloha. Well, Always appreciated. I am not ever going to tell you not to call in, and please express your opinions. And I just think that with this report that I was quoting, by the way, was from the National Council on Teacher Quality. And to make sure that you understand, not everything that they're saying is taken as gospel. The American Association of Colleges actually are taking issue with the study. But here's the problem. They didn't defend Hawaii's lack of ability to submit in a timely fashion or deliver as they had promised as a condition of getting the money. So I'm going to make a link to this. And again, I'll direct you to the edweek.org, edweek.org, and encourage you to go there. And if you really want to see the complete failure and the corruption that this man, Neil Abercrombie, represents, forget what he says in the sound bites and you know, looking unkept and what have you, and in a hurry to tell us about a tower being erected in Kaka'ako. You know, wouldn't it be nice that if this gentleman would say to us that in an interview that I'm here proposing the development of the minds of the children in Kahuku, Kau, Kaka'ako, Kaimuki. Wouldn't that be nice to hear that flow from his lips? But instead, I'm going to build you the biggest tower there is because my butt is sinking and I'm the lowest ranking person on the planet as it relates to the government and the state of Hawaii and the nation. So I just want to throw you some BS out here and tell you I'm going to build a big tower. And then I'm surprised he didn't say we'll keep a barn fire on top of it so the ships can navigate and see their way. You know, this is how crazy this thing is, and being allowed to go on TV and have the media to announce he's going to make a press conference tomorrow. And then he gets on the TV and says absolutely nothing. And then the next day, you afford him an opportunity to build the highest building when our children are stooping down and having a struggle, can't even read properly. And you can't deliver. You've gotten the money, but you can't deliver. And I told you a while back, they even asked for a waiver of their fees to the, there's an organization of educators. They wanted to waive that. It's as if we're on welfare, but they can give their brothers and friends and cousins jobs. So, you know, again, I'm hoping that if that tower goes up, I'm looking at it this way, that we be reminded, it serve as our Statue of Liberty to never again vote for anyone. And anybody that spends 40 years in government and leadership, we need to rethink that. I'm thinking we could attach that thinking to it. Erect that tower and let's call it the Tower of Sense, the Tower of Truth. And then to be reminded every time we drive by and see this, be reminded of the Neil Abercrombies, the Caetanos, even the Lingles that want to give their friends something at our expense. You can rush to build a, think about this, you can rush and build a development land development corporation. You can rush and you can suspend all the conservation and environmental laws and zoning laws. Overnight, you can do that. But you can't deliver a report to the Department of Education so that you can qualify and continue to qualify to get money that would enhance and better our students in our schools. You can't do that, but you can get with all these other crazy things and deliver them. And you can run off to Asia and educate them how to navigate their way here, but you can't and wouldn't compel the hand-picked siblings and wives and state representatives to ensure that we have an ethics law and to ensure that we have conditions to meet the Department of Education's conditions for giving us monies under the Race to the Top. Something's wrong with that picture, folks. That's not just me thinking out of bounds. I'm saying to you, we have a great... This is the awakening, if I may steal the religious term or what have you. This is it. We have a chance where all of the crossroads intersect right here this year. We get to see it. This is the best Christmas present, I believe, that I've seen. We got a one-sided government. You know, all Democrats running the ship. And we see people screaming, there's a rock ahead of us. There's a rock ahead of us. And they all say, don't worry. We got lifeboats. They're not worried about avoiding the crash because they've already have a list of lifeboats assigned to their friends. They already have a list, if I might say, of their friends and their family members who are going to have access to those life rafts and those lifeboats. So full speed ahead. In this mode, we'll make a lot of money, and so will our friends. You take the rail, same thing. Full speed ahead. Just jam it. Make both screws go. No problem. We'll have jobs. We'll have a life raft. Don't worry. And you know, even if we got in trouble out there in our little life raft trying to make it back to shore, we have EPIRBs, and we'll have the Coast Guard looking out for us because we appointed, while we were in office, the guy to head that agency. You see, that's what this family is about now. This 99% and 1%, again, as I say, it's 1% here who's governing us. The 99% is, and that's at Baratania Street. I'm serious, folks. If you don't believe it, and they're like termites. They grow, you don't see them, you don't know what they're doing, but you'll know in time when the structure is decayed to the core. You'll know soon. You know, that's where we are. And you take Donovan De La Cruz, he was at city council, now he's a senator, and then he's immediately got in and put in the development, land development, and pushed that through for Abercrombie. Then Abercrombie signs it. He was boasting that the governor had signed it. Yet, we can't deliver for our students. But they name all the friends in this process. So, the situation here with... This is some of the things that were offered early on about the Race to the Top. In order to win the race, this is a quote, in order to win the Race to the Top grant, a state must demonstrate capacity for real, dramatic reform as well as the capacity to achieve these reforms. Now, I'm like the others on the mainland now. As much as it may harm our students and not benefit them, I would hate like the Dickens to have this money squandered when others could use this money. And that was Arne Duncan of the Secretary's. In 2010, the U.S. Department of Education awarded federal stimulus funds to 12 states. The Race to the Top winners are Delaware, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Rhode Island, District of Columbia. And the total amount, the Race to the Top, is supported by $435 billion in American Recovery and Reinvestment Fund, Act funds. Imagine how that plays out. If you think they appointed Stephen Schatz without competition, imagine what they're going to do. And lower levels and higher levels. Who's going to go on these trips? Free to play, free to pay. So, say that what I've told you is going to answer everything, and I don't want to scare you, but thank all of you for listening. And next week, I'm going to we're going to talk about autism, and I've invited Dr. William Bowman, and this is something I'm very much interested in, because there's been an increase, folks, in this, and it's some frightening, as he described it, it has tripled or trebled, if you can believe that. And it is absolutely frightening when you look at the numbers of what is going on with this. And just to give you an idea, and that raises real concern. And Dr. Bowman, as I say, will be here next Sunday on the second half. And he just, in this report, the DOE, the Department of Health, made this study, age 3 to 5. In 1999 to 2000 was 88, and then in 2008 to 2009, 207 individuals. From ages 3 to 21 in 1989 to 2000, there was 364 individuals affected with this. And in 2008 to 2009, 1,185. That's how great of a growth this has developed in the problem. So hope you join me next week, and I hope that this helped you get over the pain. But I'll see you next week, and thank you for joining.
And tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.